So that is kind of like the nuts and bolts of the whole game, but you've probably heard people talk about card counting. You've probably heard people talk about how you can beat blackjack. It was I posted a thing about how I can't believe how people are just learning now that they kick card counters out of casinos, and I received replies, and like there was someone replied about how like it's really unfair that they kick out card counters. And it's not, because if the casinos allowed the card counters to play, they would just lose money on them, and no business is in the business of just giving people money. And what's funny about card counting is people will think, oh, this is this mysterious, scary, crazy thing that like you have to be a 170 IQ genius to do. It's like, it's mythologized on television and in movies that the card counter is some sort of genius, the MIT card counting team in that movie. But card counting is really very simple. It's a very basic thing. Card counting 101 is you assign a plus one value to every card between two and six, a zero value to sevens, eights, and nines, and a negative one value to all face cards and aces. And hand of blackjack goes out. There's three players at the table, and on the table there are all small cards. It's just one guy gets a five and a six. One guy gets a three and a four. You get a two and a six. And the dealer's up card is a three. The shoe is now plus seven. That's it. And as everyone's hitting, you're just keeping track. Guy got a 10. Now the shoe's plus six. Guy stays. Next guy hits, gets a 10. Now the shoe's plus five. And on and on and on. And that's it. That's all you're, it's just calculating the math, calculating the math kind of quickly, but it's not that hard. If you want to do it, you can do it. You can count cards. We had card counters at my casino recently, and a couple of years ago, really. And someone in management was like, you need to count with them. So I did, and I had never counted cards before, but it wasn't really that hard. Especially when you're a manager and it's my job to just look at the table. I don't have to track my bets. I don't have to do anything. I'm not ordering drinks from the waitresses. I'm just sitting there, standing there counting. And it wasn't hard. My counts were pretty solid. So card counting is a very basic thing to do. And the main thing about card counting is that when the shoe gets to plus 10 or even plus 15, now the shoe is considered hot. Now the shoe is considered a winning shoe. The reason why is because as a blackjack player, you want predictability, which is to say that when the dealer has a bad up card, they're going to bust. Because nothing is more frustrating for blackjack players than when the dealer is showing a five or a six as the up card, which is likely to break them. And when the dealer is showing a five or a six, blackjack strategy dictates that you try to get more money down on the table. If you've got a pair, most pairs anyways, you split against fives and sixes because you want to get more money down. If you have a 9, 10, or an 11, you want to double down against it. A lot of soft aces want to double down, like a soft 17, soft 16, yinna, yinna. Soft, to explain real quickly, if you are currently in a situation where your ace can equal 11 without breaking you, it does equal 11. So if you have a ace and a 7, you have 18. It's a soft 18, but that's your hand. If you stop right now, your hand freezes at 18. But if you elect to draw, then the next card you get, let's say you get a 10, now you just have a hard 18. The ace turns from an 11 to a 1, and now your hand is hard. And that's all the difference. But when, as you just probably noticed, when you're soft, you cannot break because you can just turn the ace into a one. You basically just like activate its Pokemon evolution power and make it the smaller number so that you don't lose the game. So when the dealer is showing a five or a six and you've got a mid soft hand, you double down. because A, you might hit a lucky card that gives you a 20 or a 21, but B, because the dealer's showing a 5 or a 6, they're very likely to break because their whole card's a 10. Now they've got 15 or 16. They've got a draw. That draw will probably be higher than the card. That'll probably take them over 21. They'll knock them out of the game. Everyone wins. So if the dealer's showing a 5 or a 6, you expect them to lose. That is the outcome that should happen. And then when they suddenly flip their whole card and it's they got a 6, it's up, they flip their whole card, it's a 5, and then they draw and they pull a 10 for 21, that's infuriating. That sucks because you were invested heavily in that hand, you expected to win a lot of money, and then wham, you lose. But when the shoe is heavy on the plus side, like again, like a plus 10, plus 15, now that whole card is way more likely to be a 10. And then when they draw, they're way more likely to pull another 10 because eventually the shoe should get back to equilibrium. The shoe should get back to neutral and zero. And as the shoe is bleeding down that positive count, it's going to see more face cards and more aces, which on the dealer side means they're more likely to break when they get a small card. But and also for you on the player side, it means you're more likely to get 20s and blackjacks. So that's why you want a shoe that's drained all the small cards out of it. Because with less small cards means more big cards for everybody, and big cards benefit the players and big cards hurt the dealer. And now you might be wondering, how do they catch card counters? How does someone know that someone is doing this? And the answer is that the person who's doing it is upping their bets when the shoe gets hot. And that's the giveaway. So you start by betting like 20 bucks and then you're counting. Shoe gets up to plus 10, plus 15. And then suddenly you go from $20 bets to $100 bets or $200 bets or even bigger. You start putting lots of money on the table. And that's a red flag. That's a sign that you're doing something. When you suddenly turn your bet from one size to 10 times its current size. Now it's like, wait a minute, this guy's doing a thing. We gotta look into this. We gotta see what this guy's up to. And so that's the problem is when you're a card counter, you've got to be subtle about these things. You can't just jump on the hot shoe because now people are going to notice, phone calls are going to be made. And this is the thing, is that whole thing about me standing there and counting and counter counting the counter to see what they're doing, that's all fun and games. And it's a thing that we can do to monitor people. But if we see your betting patterns are crazy and you're doing stuff like that, we'll just call surveillance. And surveillance has programs that will monitor a shoe and run the count. And so if we see a guy betting small and now he's betting huge, we'll just call surveillance and say, hey, on blackjack 7, the guy in the second seat, he just turned his bets from $25 to $500. Let's see what that's all about. And then when we get the phone call back, they'll probably tell us, yeah, that guy's counting. You need to back him off. At which point we then talk to management, and then management goes and talks to the guy and they tell him, look, sir, your blackjack's a little too strong for us. You can play any other game, but you can't play blackjack anymore. And if that's not good enough for you, then you can leave. And the whole excuse for that is that casinos are private property. We can choose to host whoever we want to, and we can choose to kick out whoever we want to. So yeah, like hit the bricks, pound sand. So that's card counting. And so when you're a card counter, you want to make big bets when the shoe isn't in your favor. You want to try to portray yourself to the casino and to the people tracking your play is that you're just a intuition player, that you're playing vibes, that you're doing silly stuff. You're doing like things that are not mathematically beneficial, because that way you can present yourself as someone who is just a recreational blackjack player, who's just having fun and just happened to catch a little wave of cards at the end there and made a few $100. That's all. And that's really the main science to card counting, is not getting caught. And when you're not being caught, you want to change your appearance a lot. So you go into a casino one day and you're wearing a football jersey and a ball cap and you've got a mustache and you win like $2,000-$3,000. You leave. The next time you come back, you don't have the hat on. You grew your hair out. You shaved your mustache. You're wearing a nice button-up shirt. Maybe you have a tie on. You present yourself differently. And then after you've like gone through your disguises for like two or three, four sessions at that casino, you leave that casino. You go to the next casino and you repeat the process and you keep doing that and you keep hitting them and you do what you can to avoid being detected. And that's the real science of card counting. I had a friend, she was moving to Vegas and she had talked to me about how she would have done some counting in like the local casinos, like Foxwoods, Mohegan, and stuff like that. And she was like pretty happy about like her abilities. And I was like, cool, good luck. And about 6 weeks into her life in Vegas, she got caught counting. And it was just like, man, that is, that's how that works. You can't be doing that. You gotta be more subtle. Gotta be more slick. Cause, they will notice. They will notice. And the big problem is that if you get caught in Vegas, if you're on the strip is half Caesars and half MGM. So if you get caught in one casino, you're now basically blacklisted from half the casinos on the strip from being able to play blackjack. So then you have to go to, so you get blacklisted at MGM. Now you got to go to Caesars. And if they catch you, now it's over. Now you can't play blackjack on the strip. Now you got to go other places. So that's really it. That's basically the nuts and bolts of blackjack. It's a kind of grindy game with very minimal house edge. And if you want to play it properly, again, just buy the chart. Just buy the chart online. Put the chart in front of you as you're playing. And the thing is that the other players at the table and the dealer usually will tell you what the right plays are. Everyone knows the game. Everyone who's been around the game knows it. Now, some people will tell you the wrong thing because they don't know any better. Or they'll say things like, well, if you're going to stay on 16 once, you should stay on 16 your whole session, which is just wrong. You should not stay on 16 against 10. You need to draw on your 16s, unless the house offers surrender. If you want to surrender your 16s, that's a fine thing to do. Surrender is a secret option that casinos will not tell you about. But what a surrender is, you have to ask. You have to ask the dealer, do you guys allow surrender here? And then the dealer will tell you yes or no. And if the dealer says yes, we do allow surrender. When you're at a casino, you can't say hit or stay when you're taking your cards. You have to tap the table to indicate hit, and you have to wave your hand side to side, like palm down, when you want to stay. And the reason why that is because all the tables are being recorded visually, not audially. So they have to have a visual record of your decisions. So let's say you were playing and you had a 16 against a 10 and you hit and the dealer gave you a card and busted you and then they took your money and you said, Hey, I didn't want that card. You gave me that card in error. Because we can't hear you, because we cannot hear the action of the table, we have to check the camera to see if you made the tapping motion on the table or if you made the hand-waving motion to say no to the card. That's how we check with surveillance to verify what your decision was. But surrender is you take your pointer finger and you draw a line on the table behind your chips. And then once you've done that little line draw, the dealer will take your chips and take half of them and then give you half back. So if you had a $50 bet up and you surrendered, you'd get $25 back. And when you've got a 15 or a 16 and you're facing a 10 or an ace, that's generally the right decision mathematically. Again, you can look at the chart and see that. And if the house doesn't offer surrender, you hit, because staying is just resigning yourself to defeat. And some people just don't surrender, which is fine. Again, it's very mathematically small, the decision between hitting and surrendering. But You want to make the right plays. And the thing is that some people at the table get mad at surrenders because surrender in a way is like staying where you're supposed to take that card. Ah, why didn't you take that card? Oh, we all would have won if you had taken that card. Next card's random. It has nothing to do with anything, but people remember the bad times. They remember when that card would have won them the money. They don't remember the times when that card lost, that card you took ended up breaking the dealer and then everyone was a winner and happy. They just remember when you cost everyone all their money by screwing it up. And that is one of the important things about where you sit at a blackjack table, especially if you're nervous and you're a new player. Blackjack is dealt left to right, so the rightmost seat at the table is known as third base. And third base is important because you are the last person to take cards before the dealer. And if you're the guy that's quote-unquote playing wrong, people see that a lot more because it's instantaneous. Like, you got the 16 against the 10, or I've seen people make every mistake in the world. It's incredible that this is a mathematically solved game. You can buy the card that tells you what to do for the right plays, and people just still screw it up. They just still refuse to do the right thing. And that's the thing, is if you're on that seat and you do the wrong thing, the dealer is the next person to act. So you've got like a 14 against a 10, you stay, the dealer flips their whole card. Oh my God, it's a 6. The dealer has 16. Please, dealer, break. And then the dealer pulls a 4 and they make 20. And then they take everybody's money. And now everyone's super mad at you because if you had hit, you would have gotten that 4. You would have had 18. And then what everyone's going to say is, let's see what the dealer's next card is. And then when the next hand of blackjack is dealt, the first card comes out. Boom, it's a 10. And now everyone's mad because if you had done the right thing and taken that 4, the dealer with 16, boom, they would have smashed that 10. They would have broke. Everyone would have won. So that's what happens. The last thing I'm going to bring up is people like to talk about cheating. They like to talk about the casino cheating players. And the main thing that people point to when they point to the house cheating players is shuffling machines. People distrust the shuffle machines and they want a hand shuffle. Now, this is very silly because A, we have the house edge, and B, if we actually were cheating, we are regulated. All casinos are regulated by their state gaming commissions. And if a casino company has a license in Nevada and then they branch out to other states in America, if the rules of the non-Nevada state are more lax than Nevada's, the company is still held to Nevada standards outside of Nevada. And if the new state is more strict, they're held to the more strict standards. But basically, the Nevada standard is the minimum standard. So if you, and since everyone's got a casino in Nevada, basically their rules are nationwide. And, oh, they just buy off the gaming commission, blah, blah, blah. No, they don't. It's very silly to think that. And because a cheating scandal that was exposed would devastate the company and it would ruin them publicly and destroy their brand. It's a huge gamble for no reward because all the games I'm going to talk about in this series make way less money for the casinos than the slot machines. The slot machines are where the money's at. So any of these table games, they don't matter. But this is the main thing, is that people think that these shufflers can do stuff to these blackjack shoes to rig them. The shuffle machine has no idea how many people are playing at a table. Let's say that there were 4 people at a table when the shuffle was concluded, and then 2 more people jumped in. Now, how could the shuffler have prepared for that? How could those extra hands have been accounted for? They couldn't be. And the other thing is that the deck is always cut. Most blackjack games are played with a 6-deck shoe, and a player at the table cuts that shoe, and then the dealer follows the cut and then puts the deck in the physical shoe and then starts dealing out of it. A cut always breaks a rigged deck. A rigged deck cannot survive a cut. And that is why cutting the deck is something that is always done in card games. It's why the last thing a dealer does after shuffling a deck in a poker game is to cut the deck. Because that is your verification that the deck is fair. Because no matter how you've loaded the deck, no matter how you've set the deck up, once you cut it, you've broken the rig. You've broken whatever you were trying to do. And so the only way that a machine could possibly cheat is a continuous shuffle machine. And even then, the continuous shuffle machine doesn't know how many people are playing and who's getting in, who's getting up, who's moving, all that kind of stuff. And continuous shuffle is just done to beat card counters. And they're really not omnipresent. I haven't been in many joints that have continuous shuffle because those machines are pretty expensive and they exist only for the purpose of defeating card counting. And you can defeat card counting a million different ways. So that's Blackjack. I hope this was interesting or informative. If you have any questions, DM me, hit me up on Patreon, send me a message there, or however you want to do it. I'm always glad to talk about this stuff. I'm going to cover craps, roulette, and then I'll do a quick, like, overview of all the other, like, kind of pokery games that are in the pit. And then I'll talk about poker, because poker is a big one. And I mean, I'm going to very much do like an overview, because to talk about poker actually would be a lifetime of work, because there's endless stuff to talk about when it comes to poker. So anyways, hope you enjoyed this. Talk to your friends. Tell them I'm great. Tell them that the podcast is usually excellent when it's talking about QAnon and politics and all that kind of stuff. But today, poker wanted to talk about gambling because that's a thing that's in my life. And this is my podcast. I get to do these things. Look at me. I'm the captain now. Give us a 5-star review, patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Give me money. Help me out. Beyond all that, donate to love146.org to fight human trafficking because they're good people. Thanks to DJ Minimal Effort for the intro music at the start of this thing that I remixed by accident. Thanks to all of you for listening. And Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy.